House State Affairs Committee. This is Friday, February 8th. The time is 8:32. We have Representative Miller, Representative Baker, Representative Bruckman, Representative Choquette, Representative Moyer, and myself, Representative Cabina. Today we'll hear House Bill 22 relating to certain legislative information being confidential. House Current Resolution 2 relating to the Kenai as a bicentennial city in 1991, and also SCR2, which is a companion bill. Right now, I'd like to announce that today is Representative Moyer's birthday.
Oh, how old?
Happy birthday.
39.
And for the record, he's 39.
And it's the truth. Everyone else says they're 39, and they're not.
Happy birthday.
Next year.
Yeah. And, and then we'll go on to House Bill 22, an act relating to confidential communications to legislators and legislator-elect to confidential legislative records and providing for effective date. We have Representative Cherry Davis, prime sponsor, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Representative Cabina and members of the committee. I appreciate your hearing the bill so speedily, and I particularly appreciate your scheduling it so early on today's calendar, since I do have to leave in a little while. It's a very simple piece of legislation we have before you. It's kind of interesting. I just showed it to a former legislator that was in the room a few minutes ago, and he informed me he didn't know it wasn't confidential now. And I think that's the general theme here. I wasn't aware, and nor were many of my colleagues that I've talked to, that when you talk to one of your constituents about a matter that is very sensitive, that it is not currently confidential. We don't have anything in state law that allows those communications to be kept confidential. And it hasn't been a problem up till now. I think people maybe just assumed it was. I was almost leery of proposing a bill for fear that letting the word out that they are not confidential could create some problems. But so far, again, people seem to be accepting of the idea that if it isn't now, it should be. Section 8.1, Parts A and B deal with confidentiality of communications and records. It allows for any communication to a legislator or legislator-elect to be confidential unless waived by a member of the public. Legislator confidentiality will not apply to public testimony or if the information received can be released and still protect the identity of a constituent. Now, you know, you use illustrations. A constituent came to me the other day and said, blah, 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 and we can do that still without causing any problems. And I talk about it, the fact that most of us assume that's already the case. Part C was a little added part Ledge Research suggested because we did have some discussion, I remember last year, about whether or not your research could be held confidential and whether or not that was legal, and that just clarifies that you want it to be confidential until the legislature releases it. We have a zero fiscal note, which is always nice. And I think that if you have further questions, probably the memorandum from Tam Cook outlines and explains the bill a little more clearly than I did in my memo. Questions?
I have one comment, Representative Davis. So in your first section there, it says the confidentiality is waived by the member of the public or the communication is offered as public testimony. Might it be a wise thing to do to also add to there, if the legislator decides to make it, by reading it, it could be, in my mind, I thought, well, maybe if a legislator then said something in public that the private person might be able to say, well, you released confidential information. Mm-hmm. By law, that's confidential. And really, I think if it comes to you, you ought to have that right to decide whether it is or not. We don't want somebody holding you responsible for releasing information. If somebody wrote something to you, it probably should be up also to you. What do you think of that?
Well, I wouldn't really have any objection to that. I see where you're getting at. That it might become a problem for legislators to, although I think we have immunity pretty much anyway if we do things at least within the bounds of our legislative duties. I think there is a statute that speaks to that, but that could very well be an effective amendment if you include legislators. When I was thinking about this and the directions I gave to them in drafting, I was thinking about situations that are really very sensitive, such as I get a lot of concerns about foster care, and people would come to me and tell me their whole life story about how they've dealt with their foster children and what's happened to them with the department. Lots of times they're complaining about the department. Well, you know, in that case, the department that's the fear that a lot of them have, is that in coming and talking about it, in talking to anyone about it, that the word would get out that they've done that, and indeed they could have their child taken away from them. And that's the specific instance that I thought about when I was going to introduce this. Now, and when I thought of it that way, I wouldn't want a legislator even to be able to let that information out, I guess, so, because it seems to me so sensitive. But I understand what you're getting at, and I guess if you felt the need for an amendment, that certainly wouldn't bother me at all.
Anybody else's thoughts? Representative Brockman.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Davis, when we discussed your bill yesterday, I believe you indicated that someone could walk into a legislator's office like Chris and say, I want to look at your stuff, and by law we couldn't stop them, and there's nothing preventing that happening currently. Could you expand on how this could prevent that?
Well, it just makes communications and the records that we keep on those communications confidential. And as I told you yesterday, legal has indicated to me that is not the case now. There's just nothing in statute to allow that. And it's, you know, as I said, there haven't been any incidents of anything like that. And I've talked to a couple of members of the press since I introduced this bill about what my intent was, and they didn't seem to have a large problem with it. So we obviously don't have a problem with the press right now, but you never know. You know, you could get somebody that decided it would be a great deal to run around getting all legislators' files on X. We can't think of a subject right off of him, but it's possible. And right now, they'd be allowed to do that. You wouldn't be able to not release them.
Okay, that is something that would concern me, and the protection over the, what we have in our offices is important.
Let the record show at 8:40, Representative Bloomberg is present. Any other comments from the committee? Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Davis. In the first paragraph, we speak of matters of public policy or relating to official duties of the legislator. What kinds of things would not be covered under those two topics? What I'm thinking of is, say, a constituent rights you have a problem, permit fund check, and then you call the department and, of course, reveal that person's name to the department so they can run a check. Do you need permission from the person writing to you to do that?
Through the chair, Mr. Boyer, I guess my concern, I think that when you talk to a constituent about some of those matters, I mean, I've had those conversations, and I say, I will be calling the department and blah, blah, blah. I think that's your permission. They remember the public at that point has to understand that in order to do what you need to do, you're going to give them your name. On the other hand, if you're talking to them about something that they don't want released, that again, you would say to them, obviously you don't want your name released or you don't want this information released. I think and in answer to your statement too, Representative Kavina, I guess this probably would put a little burden of extra duty on us as well, in that legislators would have to start remembering to request that from their constituents, or at least make it clear to them that indeed, unless they say so, this information isn't going to be kept confidential. And I think it goes without saying, if you have to talk to somebody else about them and give their name in order to solve their problem, well, obviously you're not going to keep their name confidential or their information.
Representative Shilkat.
Mr. Chairman, was it your intention then to make an amendment on this bill?
I would like to amend the bill to include probably could just be added to one, but conceptually, I just want to make sure that the legislator can make that decision also, not just so that the legislator is not bound to keep something confidential that he or she doesn't want to.
Okay.
If anything brought to them, I think I don't want anybody to be able to hold anything. So I'd like to conceptually make that amendment to it, and my intent is to pass this bill out. If anybody else has any other changes they'd like to make. Representative Gruber.
I think what you want to say, Mr. Chairman, would be on page 1, line 10, after the word public and before the semicolon, add the phrase, or the legislator.
That would be it.
I have a couple of
Representative Gruber.
My staff and I were talking about this at some length last night, and just first a couple of technical questions to her. Sponsor. I generally have a policy of not favoring immediate effective dates unless there's some emergency or something. Is there a need for an immediate effective date?
Through the chair, no, Representative Bloomberg. I drafting put that in, and I don't know why, and I am flexible on it. I don't care what the vet people.
What's the problem with making it? Otherwise, it's 90 days. What does
that? And what that does is give people time to know what's going on and gear up and everything. And I would move to strike the effective date.
Let me understand it completely. If we strike the effective date, would you also have to change the title?
Sure. So you'd remove section 2F5.
Representative Davis.
Representative Cabina, the only thing I can think of, and this may not be overwhelming, is that since we are, by introducing this, and indeed if we pass it, we are announcing to everyone that, indeed, these things are not confidential now. And since everyone already, most people assume that they are confidential, my only fear would be there might be somebody out there who would decide to take advantage of it in the 90 days between when it took effect. I'm just proposing that. That may be absolutely paranoid thought, but that may be the reason that drafting decided to put that in there. I don't know.
I would think that would come out in the committee process anyway, and it wouldn't make any difference.
Well, I guess I'm trying to think, what is the harm in having it? Because the 90 days, really, it's a benefit to us as legislators. What's the harm in going immediately as opposed to 90 days? Representative Bruckman.
I guess I would speak against Representative Greenberg's amendment in particular, but I don't see where it makes that much difference. Currently, we're not giving out a lot of confidential information. This is a protection that you thought was already in place, and it hasn't been. I don't see what difference it makes, to be honest. And my question would be, is there an expense or a bureaucratic logjam that would make
Mr. Chairman,
it's
a lot of times has been in the past, mm-hmm. the policy of the drafters at legal counsel to put an effective date on a lot of bills. Mm-hmm. And we've cut that down a lot. It requires 27 votes. It's a supermajority. And it's just, in most cases, there's a policy in state law that you don't have an immediate effective date unless the bill specifically provides for it and unless there is 27 votes of each house. So at least during the time I've been here, we've gone through very carefully and not had immediate effective dates, unless there's some reason, like in appropriations bills, you generally have them. This bill, I'm going to mention something else, it's going to require a supermajority anyway, because it's not going to be effective the way it is. It does not amend the court ruling. So we're going to need the 27 votes anyway to amend the court rule to get it to do what you want it to do.
Well, Representative Greenberg, why don't you give us the second point you're trying to make there?
Yeah. Confidential communications, if you want them to really be effective, that you have to amend the court rules. Otherwise, they can be compelled to be disclosed in court. If you don't have them, and you have a confidential communication, like there used to be statutes dealing with, there still are dealing with psychologists. There's a statute that says a communication between a psychologist and a patient is confidential. Until the new evidence rules came out, there was no privilege under the evidentiary rules, and there had to be a case that went up to the Supreme Court of Alaska on that. What does this statute mean since there's no court rule? And since the statute, when it was passed, did not specifically have the effect of amending the rules. Didn't say it in the title, and it didn't have you have to have 27 votes to amend a court rule. The court adopted a common law confidentiality, but it caused a lot of problems. What you really want to do here is to have several types of confidentiality. You want to have confidentiality so that somebody else can't phone or write, or the newspapers can't ask to look at all your records. That's out of order. But also, you could have a situation that would involve somebody. Let me give you an example, Mr. Chairman. Let's say a prisoner phones and says they're beating us down here in Spring Creek, and they're sexually assaulting some of the inmates. And he gives you his name and everything and wants you to take a look at it. He says, for God's sake, don't let anybody know I've called you. They're going to beat me tomorrow. And then you get a call from some of the people in corrections. And it might very well wind up in court. And you might very well have what's called a reliable informant. You might have criminal charges arising out of it and all sorts of things. And you might really have some people's lives at stake. So if you're going to do it, you really have to consider whether you want to amend the court rules. And it doesn't make sense to do it if you don't amend the court rules, in my opinion. So that's you've got half the horse here, but not the other half.
You know, that maybe something that we want to do then is, to be honest with you, I'm not real sure what exactly all this technical thing is. Maybe we should send a letter along to Judiciary with this and allow the Judiciary Committee. I think the bill allows us to see what we, Representative Davis is getting at. I certainly understood it very clearly, I thought. And then if we sent a letter along with Judiciary to specifically address that and say to them, if this is an issue that may have to, would you please deal with that? Because I'm not. Where would you think that would?
That's fine. I think that the issue is not that complex. The question is, do you want somebody, a legislator or the member of the public? The situation I gave you was a situation where you wanted to keep the identity secret. It may be a situation where there's no question that there was a conversation, but you want to keep the content of the conversation secret. And so I think that that's a policy decision that we can make a recommendation on as well. And of course, the other side of the issue is the strong public policy, and it's found in the Open Meetings Act. It very specifically says that there's a policy of open meetings, and it's the same policy as the Open Documents Act. Policy of open documents at all governmental agencies, unless it specifically says it. And you're going to have the press who says, hey, why is the legislature covering up here? You have a situation, for example, you could have a sting, a kind of an operation like they had in Arizona or South Carolina. This bill involves some very difficult policy questions. And we can pass them along to the Judiciary Committee or make some decisions in this committee. But I think at least you need to know.
Mr. Chairman, Sherry, Representative Gruenberg has just touched on the issue that makes me most nervous about this, the public policy issue, because I have been involved in the Open Meetings Act and the rewriting of some local legislation. And this, even though the theory is very appropriate because of how it came about, this has really far-reaching ramifications. And I can almost guarantee you from some past experience that the minute this really becomes public, that there are going to be those members of the media that maybe you didn't speak with, but sitting back on the editorial desk that is really going to look at this, and there's going to be some real thought process, because this really goes towards the Open Meetings Act, not so much towards the confidentiality. The Open Meetings Act and the open disclosure of public documents, this is a major, major move. And I guess my thought, and it's very worthwhile, but I think that it would be prudent for us to, before we even pass it forward to Judiciary, really do some research and talk to our own legal staff relative to the Open Meetings Act and what that has to do with. Representative Gruenberg, you're right on target, I assure you, because at local level, we had about six or seven of these issues, but this was the very thrust of that problem, and it's embodied in this bill. I think maybe Representative Bruckman had a little experience, too, recently relative to this. I mean, this is a major issue, Mr. Chairman. I mean, it seems very worthwhile, it seems very small on the surface, but this is a major piece of legislation.
Representative Moyer.
Thanks, Chairman. Under the definition of member of the public, would a legislator be covered? Say I wrote a memo to Representative Choquette, it's in my files, and do we mean that to be covered, and would it be covered by confidentiality? Just to raise another question in my mind.
Well, I think we have totally made this thing a lot more complicated than what was intended to be. I view this as a direction. Right now, that item that the representative just expressed would not be covered, I don't believe.
If I write a letter to constituent Y and constituent X wants to come in and look at my record, they can't. I believe those things should be covered. I believe under Representative David's bill, these things would become covered. But when we get into where we have to go to court and stuff, I don't know if we necessarily want those things covered. It should be. If the press wants to go to court to get into the files or something, or somebody else, and the judge deems it is necessary, then it should be open. But just from stopping somebody coming in and going through your records to see what you wrote to constituents, I don't necessarily believe that should be allowed or available. And I believe that Representative David's bill takes care of that problem, but I don't know if necessarily we want to fix the other problem, because I think if there's reason to get into the record should be open.
Representative Brackman.
Isn't there language somewhere in the open meetings law, I mean, not in that part of it, but about the public, the benefit to the public, the right to know the necessity, or the protection of sensitive material? Isn't there a judgment call that can
be? Representative Greenberg. What we should do is distribute the Open Meetings Act. There are two sections in the Open Meetings Act. Section number one, which is section 310, as I recall, says that 300 says that exactly what it is that is open. And the second section, 310 or 320, says the policy. And the policy says, is very clear, that everything is open unless it's specifically closed by law. But the language is really clear. There's also a provision in the state ombudsman statute, which is, I think, somewhat relevant, because I think what the intent is dealing here with are when the legislator is acting as an ombudsman, more than when the legislator is acting as a lawmaker, because we have different functions. And so I looked last night at the ombudsman statute, and that is somewhat similar, but again, there is no court rule that was amended by that, and no indication that statute was to affect any court rule. So conceivably, the ombudsman could be subpoenaed. And I am troubled by what Representative Miller has said, because there's a tongue-in-cheek statement that says the freedom of the press belongs to the person who owns the press. And that's very real in the sense that you're talking about. You say, well, if somebody wants to go and get a court order and subpoena, that means that two types of people are going to be able to do that. Number one, the type of people who can afford a lawyer to go down and go through the hassle. And number two are the people who go pro per and litigate perennially. And the other people, the middle people, who may have some kind of reason, or a municipal assembly member, somebody may have a legitimate, but not going through the municipality, they can't afford to go down and get a court order exhuming this thing or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying it's not as simple a judgment call. There are a lot of, I think, important public policy issues here. Representative Miller.
Well, with regard to that, that may be so, but at the same time, this intent of the bill, I believe, is, you correct me if I'm wrong, but right now, you know, if the public could just go through and see what I wrote to another member of the public, and I believe that should be protected not only for that public member, but for the legislator, but even more for that other member out there in the general public. I don't really think it's anybody's business what I, as a legislator, wrote to another constituent member. I agree. I think it is a general a policy call. But I think we have made this thing a lot more complicated than what it was intended to be.
Representative Chairman Cubina, Representative Moyer and myself have to leave for another very important meeting. Would I be out of order to move and ask for unanimous consent that this committee pass through Senate concurrent resolution number 2 at this time?
That'd be out of order. What's that, Quayle?
Oh. I'd like to ask to be excused, please. You going to?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. So I have to co-chair a meeting that was set up by the Senate.
Well, I'll have to just let the Senate know that not step on the State Affairs Committee or whoever that is.
I'd be glad to give that message.
Well, tell Representative Greenberg said it.
If I could raise just...
Give me a break. I should have raised the issue.
If I could just raise one more question before I go. taking on off from Representative Miller said, and I do agree, there are probably many, many cases when something you wrote to a constituent should be kept confidential for both sakes, but what if they, once the letter is in their possession, they choose to know it's...
That's open by that. It's open by it.
I understand that. Is that what we wanted, to try and keep this confidential? Not judging whether I agree or not, just raising the question.
If I could answer that, to me, with my little amendment here, it appears we're saying either party can make that determination. But and I think that's a good way to do it. And I agree with Representative Miller wholeheartedly. I think we're complicating an issue that Representative Davis tried to solve.
Right.
A small little problem. Which am
I? I know sometimes the smallest pills can be the most.
Would you like to at least leave me your thoughts on whether you think we should go ahead and send this on to the judiciary with the letters raising, asking them if there may be possible problems there?
Oh, sure.
And with what we think the intent of the bill is?
With all due respect to the sponsor and the chair, I prefer to keep working on this committee rather than send along the problems to the next committee.
Okay. Well,
that's my preference.
Thank you. Anybody else? Representative Greenberg.
I guess this is probably as good a time to talk about this as anything, because we have a new committee, Mr. Chair, people that have been in the legislature. The shortest bills are often the most complicated. This is a really good example. It involves some very fundamental issues that are really important, and what we're talking about is the right of a legislator and a constituent to, in an ombuds sense, to have some confidentiality to do our work on the one hand, and the right of the public to know on the other hand. And I think that, I guess that you're the only witness who signed up to testify on this. It may be that we want to get some input from some other people on this or something. I don't have an easy answer on this. And as Michael Plunkett here knows that we and my staff and I talked, and he took one position, and Mark Handley took the other, and we had quite a debate on this. This is not going to be, as Representative Baker said, a simple little deal. It will attract a lot of attention, and I think we in this committee, unless we want to get the reputation of just passing things through to the Judiciary Committee and have all the decisions made down there, which Representative Miller and I would be happy to do.
We'll have that discussion there.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that this is worthy of some thought, and I don't know where I come out on this. I just know that sometimes it's more important to raise the issues than to have an easy solution.
That's Sam Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to lose any sleep over the fact that this committee has kept in state affairs for a while longer and worked on it. It's not going to bother me in one iota. I just saw a problem that I felt needed to be solved, and I want to solve it in the best possible way. If there are amendments that need to be made to the bill, fine, no problem. I would like, on the question of the whole policy matter and your comments, Representative Baker, about the Open Meetings Act. I'm very familiar with the Open Meetings Act. I served on a local school board for almost 12 years. It was brought up many times, and we had many, many issues relating to it. And I am certainly not trying to subvert the Open Meetings Act in any way. I see this as something that is that we have come to have a habit of behavior around the idea that we are doing these things, that somebody can come to us with any problem they've got and talk to us about it in great detail and intimacy, and we're not going to go running around blabbing that information. But when I discovered that indeed it isn't up to us to make that determination, it bothered me a lot, and that's the reason that I put the legislation forward. Now, I don't think that that's the same issue as the whole issue around the Open Meetings Act, public records, etc. And Representative Greenberg, when you talk about the difference between our role as somewhat an ombudsman and versus our role as a lawmaker, I think that's very clear, and I don't think this muddies that up, because I think that when we actually start to pass legislation, you know, deal with an issue as a lawmaker, that all becomes public anyway, and it becomes public under this bill. If a person comes to me with a problem and they want to tell me something privately that I can deal with in some manner as a quote-unquote ombudsman, that's a different issue from when they come to me and say, I want you to pass a law that says X, and I say yes, and you're going to come testify, right, when I do this, and they do. All of that is open and intended to be so. And so I see the issue somewhat differently, and that's what I'm hoping to do with this one, is to just clear up the fact that they don't always want us to solve their problem even necessarily. Sometimes they just want somebody to hear that there is a problem. And sometimes all we need to do is to know about it so that somewhere down the road, if it ever comes up in a different kind of situation, you know, something comes up related to it, we happen to know an incident that we can relate that will help us understand how to best deal with it. That's what I'm getting at here, and I didn't intend it to be obviously as complicated as it appears to be, but whatever we can do to solve it, I think now, particularly now that I've raised the issue, I'm concerned, and as I said at the beginning, I was concerned that even by raising this, I could get a whole can of worms going here, that someone might out there might be thinking, aha, now we've got them, we didn't know they weren't confidential before. I'm a little concerned about that, and I would like to get this issue solved fairly quickly if we can, just because of that.
Representative Greenberg.
Two instances come to mind. First is the Keating 5 situation, where you've got, in that case, the worst scenario. Somebody comes and says, I'm snakes up to my eyeballs here, and I want you to pass a bill to bail me out. Or a situation like the George Holman case, which involved an appropriation. It wasn't the passing of the law, but an appropriation to buy an airplane, as I recall. It's hard to draw the line. I would be interested in seeing if other states have dealt with this, and if so, how. I don't know. I think that.
Mr. Chairman, the one part of this, the part about our research, legislative research, there is a state legislative report that we it's available through legislative research that talks about documents being confidential unless the word is made public by the member, by the requesting member. A lot of states have that kind of thing. We didn't do any research to determine communications between legislator and their constituents, so I don't know what the other states have on that. And that probably would be fairly simple to get also.
I was
Sam Greenberg.
Thank you. I have very little trouble with the portion dealing with the legislative research. And that would include, of course, legal research, which is attorney-client privilege. And that's the portion, Mr. Chairman, up at the top of page 2, subsection C. I do feel that information given to us by our research agency ought to be confidential, unless it's released. There are good public policy reasons for doing that, that a legislator, to make law effectively, needs to be able to gather information in a confidential manner and from their own research agencies. And unless and until it's released in the legislative process, we should have that. But I've been focusing probably more on the other item.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to be also.
Representative Davis, how long are you gone? Are you here Monday?
Yes.
I think what I'd like to do is hold this bill and ask Tam Cook to comment on Representative Greenberg's statements. Would that suit the committee? And see what we can find out. We'll attempt to do that Monday, although that may be too early. And I'll let you know as soon as we can get her available.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next we have HCR2 and SCR2 relating to the Kenai as a bicentennial city in 1991. My understanding and protocol, both these resolutions were identical. Is that correct?
As far as intent,
then that when one from another body comes, it's already been through the other body, we should take up that. That really becomes the vehicle. So at this time, we will take up Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 relating to Kenai as a bicentennial city in 1991.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Sandy Nussbaum, staff for Senator Paul Fisher. I apologize, Senator's not here. They are taking up the education issue, House Bill 5 in Senate Pest. And
very important issue, and we're glad he's there moving up right along for us all.
I think the resolution is self-explanatory. The other resolution is basically the same again in concept. There's a little bit different in the wording and so forth. There's a little bit of rush on this. We've had this in for a couple of years, but their kickoff celebration starts on April 13th, so we would like to honor them, you know, prior to that time. I'd like to make one point, which someone asked me in the hall on the way down. There are no state dollars in this project. They have never come to the legislature for any state dollars. The city of Kenai has money in the project for their centennial building. They've also gone to the federal government and private donations to put the celebration on, which in my years in the legislature, this is a little unusual. So we'd like to honor them in a timely manner.
My one question I would have is, why would this resolution, which really doesn't ask the state to do anything in essence other than to, why would it be in resolution form, being printed, have to go in the resolution books and everything? Might this be something that would just be just as appropriate as a citation?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in previous years, before the citation situation even began, we always did everything in resolution form. It's a little more formal, a way of doing it than doing it in citation form.
No, last year, when first year in the legislature, last year, the rules chairman, I had introduced a couple in this way, and the rules chairman really encouraged me to do it in the citation form just because it's to be published in the book.
Right, Mr. Chairman, and I hope you'll take it in the manner this is said. Like I say, years ago, everything was in resolution form. We did not have the citation as a vehicle. When they first started into the citation thing, it was more in this keeping to honor people. I think we've gotten quite a ways away from that in some of the citations that you see come through, and this is why Senator chose to go back to the resolution.
Representative Miller.
And follow up with that, I know the former rules chairman, who is now speaker, I don't believe he'd have any problems like that. The things that, and I've had long conversations with him, is things like Senator Fisher's Garden Week?
Amateur radio.
Oh, amateur radio. Things like that is Representative Hudson thinks the Garden Week, that he would like to keep in citation for. But things like this, where you commend a city or something like that, that's a whole different ballgame.
Okay. Any other comments from the committee? Representative Grunberg.
Yeah, I just have one question. Why is there attached to this letter of January 22 a resolution concerning Saddam Hussein?
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. I don't think so. I was making sure that the committee's awake.
I don't have any problem with it.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for that. Whoever put it in the packet just didn't pull the right one.
That would be an honor to tell the same.
I
wouldn't have a problem with that.
This bill does only come to the state affairs. We are the only hearing on the bill. So obviously, this is quite an important step for us just to hear it once and send it to the floor. Is there any objection to passing the bill on?
Well, let me just ask one question. Is there any significance?
Representative Grunberg.
Is there any difference between this and the House version? I don't have the House version.
Only in wording. Only in wording. They've used several different phrases, and you have a representative here from Representative Lahr's office if you want to ask.
Is there any problem with the representative using this? Okay.
Is there any further discussion on this resolution?
Can I add Saddam?
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move Senate resolution 2 out of committee with individual recommendation.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. On your packets, I wanted to ask once more. Representative Miller does the same thing I do. He often he doesn't always remember to bring his and likes to have it here. I've always had mine on last year on trans and. This year on trans, we don't take them home. But you, I'm going to leave his here, and his will be here, and mine are here, but you guys all want yours sent to office the night before, correct?
Correct. Except some of us forget.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So we don't have to. So I'm asking you to take that responsibility. Please bring it so we don't have to make another packet for you the next day, which is
Mr. Chairman, maybe for our good representative here, we should leave the packet here. It would save a lot of problems.
I'm preparing a resolution on that.
Unanimous consent.
I will say nothing. I will button my lip.
Representative Baker, you want yours sent to your
yes,
office.
Yes, please.
I know Representative Greenberg.
Yeah.
I did want to announce that if anyone else has any amendments to House Bill 37, I know I may have some disagreements again on this one also, but I believe that on House Bill 37, we will not be the last word on this bill. And I've come to the conclusion that we should pass out that bill in a form that is acceptable. I believe it's getting to a form acceptable to me, and I believe the final decisions are probably going to be made on the other body in the Senate, Finance Committee, and no matter how we changed it. And so my intent is to move that bill out. So if you have any other suggestions on amendments to that bill, would you please give them to the committee? And also on House Bill 4, which we have scheduled, I announced in caucus if anybody had any. I haven't got anything except for Representative Finkelstein. And if people are going to have any, then that's obviously going to be a complicated bill. And I do have some amendments in my mind to make, and if other people do, it would be appreciated that you got them to us as soon as possible, and we can start working on it. We hear that a week from Wednesday, and I plan on hearing it pretty much until we're done with it. So I'd like to do that also. Representative Bruckman.
Do you plan public hearings on the teleconference?
Yeah, we've had our first one already.
Right.
And we'll have APOC on. We will be teleconference to APOC at least as a minimum a week from Wednesday. And and we'll. I've asked APOC to please put their comments and suggested amendments in writing so that we don't have to listen to them. I'm trying to get them to, you know, not read everything that they've already given to us in writing. And I would ask that when we get them, we will distribute them, and that you guys try to look those over so we can. Okay. Anything else?
Are we back on the 8:30?
Yes, sir.
From now on?
Yes, sir.
No more 8 o'clock.
So. No. No, Representative Greenberg requested 8 o'clock, and he never got here at 8 o'clock. So we went to 8:30 and doesn't get here at 8:30. So I'm not going to 8:30.
When he shows his comments are valuable.
This is not my day, folks.
His comments are always valuable.
Oh, I know.
As a matter of fact,
I
was here.
It's too early to take a vote on
it's
that.
I was here in my office at about 5 after this.
It's too early for me, to be honest with you. I'm here. I stay here till 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
So do I.
And Betty and I are both closer to night people. It's just too hard, and I don't want to be late myself, so the committee assignments are normally at 8:30. We'll keep them at night. Any other comments? Not. I have a little statement I have to read. Find it. Okay, the next committee meeting is Monday at 8:30. We'll have House Bill 73 relating to appropriations, salmon for Operation Desert Storm, which I'm sure is going to be very non-controversial. House Bill 40 relating to false information and election pamphlets, and HGR 14 relating to emergency firefighters income tax. And then on Wednesday, I intend to add to the schedule House Bill 37. Nothing else, we're adjourned. Time is 9:20.
Good evening.